gospel text today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, in Jesus' name. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then he said to him, "Who are you?" So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now that they had been sent from the Pharisees, they asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptized in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let us pray. Lord, today again, we just thank you for your word. But open it up to us, Lord. Reveal it to us, Lord, and make it alive for us. Change our lives. Change our hearts as we hear your word today, Lord. Move us. And Lord, even if there is some wicked way in us, convict us. Slice it out, Lord, that we may be fully serving you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You noticed by the bulletin that I titled my message today, "The Man Who Pointed People to Jesus." Have you ever wondered who the greatest preacher in all of the world, in all of history, ever was? Your minds are already racing as to some that you may have heard or some that you may think was just the perfect greatest preacher you've ever heard. Well, Jesus passed his divine judgment on this very point, and he named John the Baptist as the greatest. From Luke 7:28, it tells us about, this is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. "I say to you, among those born of women, there's no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Why did Jesus call John the Baptist the greatest preacher? You know, you and I might have picked Moses, maybe Elijah or Elisha. You know, Moses, I mean, he was given so much by God as he led the Israelites across that desert that all kinds of miracles were happening at his hands. But John the Baptist, he didn't perform any miracles. He wasn't a standout type guy, dressed in camel's hair, ate honey and locusts. Why would Jesus call a man like that the greatest prophet or the greatest preacher? Why? Because John spoke of the coming of God's Son. Everything that John the Baptist preached and taught was truth. You notice that Jesus, you know, in his ministry, he healed the sick. He even raised some from the dead, it's recorded in Scripture. Jesus even walked on the water. Jesus even cast out the demons. But John the Baptist did none of these things. The only thing that John the Baptist did was that he preached about Jesus Christ. He preached, doing the greatest thing that you and I can do, and that is to share Jesus Christ with someone else. When is the last time you have shared Jesus Christ with someone else? A question like that oftentimes hurts. It cuts a little bit, doesn't it? But sometimes it's the way we live. God has given you that ability to be able to take and share the gospel by the way you live and the way you handle the difficulties in life. Let's take a look at some of the reasons why Jesus called John the greatest. Number one, Jesus was great because he was a chosen, excuse me, John was great because he was a chosen man. John was commissioned. John had a very special task. He had a very special mission that he needed to do. John's parents, they prayed for years for a child. Elizabeth and Zacharias desperately wanted a child, and nothing seemed to help. No matter how they prayed, how they pleaded with God, they just did not want to open the womb of Elizabeth. Well, God finally answered their prayers. But you know what God took and told Zacharias was that you need to name this man, this young child when he's born, John. Now that John was not in the line at all, in the heritage of Zacharias. But you know, there was one problem with Zacharias, and that was unbelief. He ended up and couldn't speak. He couldn't share, all because of unbelief. But those godly parents of John the Baptist, you know what those parents did was they taught their son about the Lord. There are so many parents in our world today that have decided to leave the teaching of who Jesus Christ is to the Sunday school teachers and to the pastor when it comes to confirmation age. As parents, we're going to be held accountable. What did we teach our children? We are to be teaching our children in our homes so that the church can come alongside and reconfirm it and encourage. Elizabeth and Zacharias did not leave the responsibility to someone else to raise their child. They did what God had called them, asked them to do, to raise John and get him ready for the ministry. Number two, the second reason why John was great was part because he was a clean man. Luke 1:15 tells us this, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Clean living. John was a Nazarite. A Nazarite means someone who is separated, a separated one. Look at it this way. A leopard is a symbol of sin, unclean. In those days, if someone had leprosy, they were to call out, they were unclean, unclean, if somebody came near, so that they could pass by around and not become unclean. But a Nazirite was a symbol of holiness. What a difference in that picture when you look at that picture of sin and the picture of holiness. Holiness was clean. In other words, John was to be separated from the world. He was to be separated from the sin of the world. And he was to be effective for God and the work that God had put before him. Why? Because he was separated from the world. The trouble with our world today is that so many people do not want to live a clean life. They want to try to live on the fence. Kind of like the man that went to the doctor. And the doctor looked at the man and says, "Sir, you need to stop drinking or you're going to lose your leg." The man looked at the doctor and said, "Doctor, I would much rather lose my leg than to give up the pleasure of my drinking." Blinded by the devil. Seeing only the pleasure of now. The Bible tells us that the pleasures of this world are only for a short time. A very short time. Those pleasures will cause an uncleanliness. And do you know what happens with uncleanliness? It really knocks off the spiritual power that you and I are to have as Christian people. That uncleanliness causes a short circuit. Matthew 11:18 tells us, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they called him a demon, a devil." Isn't that interesting how God sets this man aside, and because he doesn't do what the rest of the world is doing, they call him a demon or a devil, depending on which translation you use. You know, it's interesting because Jesus came along and they called him a glutton because he sat and ate with sinners. People are so judgmental. But the people loved to laugh at John because of the way he dressed in the camel hair and what he ate with was the locusts and the honey. The simple lifestyle that John lived, people made fun of him. They laughed at him. But you know, one of the things they could not laugh at, one of the things they could not make fun of, and that was John's soul. Because John was right with the Lord. Let the world make fun of us as Christians. But let's not let them have any reason to make fun of our soul who is connected with Christ. Live a pure life. Live it for God. Don't listen to the world. The world is saying so many things that we should be doing and this and that. don't live to please the world, but rather live to please your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you living? Number three, John was great because he was a consumed man. John chapter 5, verse 35 tells us, and he was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. In order for John to be a shining light, he had to have a burning desire for God. Do you have that burning desire for God? I think sometimes we take and try and make it look so good and so right on Sunday mornings, and the rest of the week, we live in our own little shell, thinking we are so protected away from the other Christian people that we don't have to worry. But John, what did he do? He put all of his energy into working for God. Everything John did was that he was working for his Heavenly Father to proclaim the repentance of sin, that Jesus Christ was coming. Some people want to shine for God, but you know what? Those very same people don't want to have to pay the price. They don't want to have to take and be condemned. They don't want to have to be ridiculed. So oftentimes we need to hear that time and time again. When John the Baptist came along, it had been about 430 years since a prophet had spoken to the people, to the Jewish people. They hadn't heard a prophet preach. And here he is, standing in the Jordan River, and people come to hear what he had to say. They heard a man who was on fire for God. They heard a man that knew how to speak. They knew what to say. He said it the way it was. A preacher must preach against sin. A preacher must have a desire for God. But we must preach against sin. We cannot preach just God's love without God's judgment. We cannot take and say it's okay to live in sin. God's word is very specific. And we need to hear it. We need to be told it again and again that we're sinners. We need to come before his altar on Sunday mornings and again confess those sins. Number four, John was great because he was convicted. He was a convicted man. And that comes from Matthew 3, 1 and 2. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John preached repentance. John preached that Jesus was coming and the day of judgment was coming. Until, isn't it interesting how last Sunday we were looking at John the Baptist when he was in prison, and he was questioning Jesus if he was the one. Where was the judgment? He was wondering, why aren't you judging these people, God? It isn't a matter of just coming down with great judgment on a person. That's not what God wanted. It wasn't judgment day. Judgment day is coming for us, though. It's coming. The people needed to get ready to receive Christ. And how did they get ready to receive Christ? By repenting of their sins, getting on their knees and crying out. And that's how we get ready to receive Him. To receive Him, we have to repent. If we don't repent, we cannot receive Him. It's that simple. It's so simple, we make it difficult. We make it hard. We have to be willing to admit that we're wrong. John was very, very direct. He called the people vipers. He didn't mince any words. John was not silent when it came to confronting people with their sin. He wanted them to know it. In fact, John got in trouble because he confronted the king with his sin, and he ended up in prison. Ended up because of the king's daughter wanting his head on a platter, lost his life. But look at it in that way, that John did not back down. John told people that the very first step to God's repentance from all of that your sin was to confess it. Pastors today want nothing more than to please their congregation, because if they're pleasing their congregation, they're going to get their paycheck. But what happens so oftentimes when pastors begin to please their congregations, they end up and they tickle people's ears, they give them that warm, fuzzy feeling, and they go out the door totally unconvicted. And all of a sudden, that pastor is pleasing man instead of pleasing God. But it's so easy. Let's get mad at the pastor because the pastor's talking about that I've got sin in my life. Let's find a pastor that isn't so hard on us, that isn't preaching. Let's find a pastor that's softening God's word. And what happens to our churches as we start to soften what God's word has to say to us? Number five, John was a great man. Why? Because he was a contented man. From John 1:23, part of our text today, it says, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet had said." And then jumping over to John 3, verse 30, it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John was the voice that was crying out in the wilderness. John was the voice that needed to decrease so that the people could hear the voice of Christ. He was willing to step out of the way and give God the glory. Jesus needed to receive the glory, not him. Not John the Baptist. Not the pastor today. It's God that we're here to worship. It's God that we're here to give glory to. When you and I serve Jesus Christ, we need to learn to be a team player. In other words, we need to step aside and allow God, instead of thinking that it can only happen if it's me. No, God says, step aside and let me use you. John the Baptist was an awful lot like the old telephone operators. Some of you younger people aren't going to understand what I'm talking about, But those of you that remember when you took and had to call the operator and have the operator connect you to somebody else, and then the operator was supposed to back out of the way and not be a part of it, but that usually didn't happen. They loved to listen to the gossip. But they were supposed to back out of the way. That's what the operator was supposed to do. It was the same thing for John. John was supposed to back out of the way and allow Jesus to begin his ministry, to begin. He was the connecting link, is what John was. And John was very content to do that. Number six, John was great because he was a committed man. The verse that follows our text today, John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus had come. John had been sent to bear witness that the true light, the true Son of God, was coming. He was the one that was to reveal Jesus to the people. He began by proclaiming who he was. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's one thing to be called. It's another thing to be committed to that call in your life. Are you committed? As a child of God, you are sent to take and share Jesus Christ, to share the Lamb of God with those you meet. As God's people, we are to convince people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And how do we convince people? We convince people by the way we live. It's by the way you live that will convince more people than all of the words in the world. And once we have learned that, then we are truly sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the people. And then sometimes God's going to open it up and let you share. But first of all, people need to read you as that person of God. You know, sometimes God sends somebody along to plant the seed. And then God sends the next person along to help that seed grow. But God's the one that causes that seed to grow. We are just here to water and to plant, to do what God has called us to do, and then allow God to do the work. We get so confused with that at times that we think it's all about us. It's not about us. It's about him. There are three types of Christians who respond to the call of service to God. The first type of Christian there is the rowboat Christian. They're the Christians that need to be pushed. Number two is the sailboat Christians. The sailboat Christians are always the ones that are going whichever direction the wind is blowing. And that's why they get off of God's word. They get away from God, what God's word says. And then number three are the steamboat Christians. They're the ones that are making up their minds that they are going to go wherever they are sent. They're going to battle through whatever God has for them with any difficulties. No matter what the wind does, no matter what the weather does, they're going to stay on course. What type of a Christian are you today? John was called to point people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Your calling today as a Christian is to point people to the Son of God. Amen. Lord, again today we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John setting an example of what it truly means to be that one that points people to you and then steps out of the way. Lord, help us to be that type of a Christian, one who is steady, one who is living for you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let us take our hymnal. Let's turn to hymn number 25, Angels from the Realms of Glory. We have several visitors with us today, but take note in your bulletin, the hymn number 26, What Child Is This? We will be singing verse 1, but that hymn is unannounced at the time that it comes up, so keep that in mind as well. We're going to ask you to stand and join with me in praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.